disappointment and trouble everywhere. Many times I get discouraged and I almost lose my way. Then I remember I'm just a pilgrim in this troubled world below. There's one thought that keeps me singing as I go. We're not home yet, children, so keep your eyes on the Savior. Just a few.
Since the Lord laid his hand on me, there's been a change in my life. Amen. I've never been the same. And you know what? I've never desired to be the same. Some people struggle. Amen. Some people say, well, it's hard to serve God. It ain't hard serving God. The only reason it's hard to serve God is because people want to live like the world. Amen. I said, that's the only real struggle we have.
I was paid, I was free.
Sure, there was a little mistake there in the music, and I'm sorry for that. Well, you know, we're not perfect, but we're doing our best and trying to bring you something different today, and it didn't work right. But that's okay. We're here, and we're going to have a great broadcast. I'm really excited about the broadcast today. We're talking about Israel. We're talking about the city of New Jerusalem. And we're talking about all the signs, prophetic signs of the end right near the coming of the Lord. I mean, the coming of the Lord is at the door. The coming of the Lord is at hand, my friend. We are right here at that blessed moment. And I don't know about you, but I am absolutely excited. I am absolutely excited. Now, I hope you'll get involved with me in the broadcast today. It's the kind of broadcast that can affect your life if you'll let it. You got to let it. You got to want it. You got to want to learn. See, open Bible dialogue has always been both inspirational and educational. I believe the Bible is the infallible Word of God. It's absolutely perfect, absolutely pure, nothing of it less than pure, and it will affect and change your life. It really will. It will affect you in wonderful ways if you get into the Bible. And you've got to get into the Bible, and you've got to hear what God says to you. And so, in the name of the Lord, let's have a great broadcast today. Let's do something exciting. And we're talking about a revival in Israel immediately after the rapture. I don't think I've heard anybody ever discuss what happens when that 144,000 Jewish people are added and sealed for God's glory and for God's kingdom after the rapture. See, the pre-trib rapture is one of the grandest events in church history. It's really overwhelming. It is a grand event. And it immediately following that pre-trib rapture, there is there's a period of time that nobody knows. But after the rapture, 144,000 Jews are sealed with the seal of God in their forehead. And you'll find as you read the story of that, that they are servants of Jesus Christ. They follow him everywhere he goes. They are into this business of Jesus. And that's during the tribulation period. Now, Jesus in heaven, they're down here, but they're following the Lord. They're holding up his name, and they really are witnesses to the nation of Israel during the tribulation period until they're finally caught up to heaven in chapter 14 of the book of Revelation. Now, you got to know why Israel is such a loved people. You got to know why they are so important. You got to understand some of the great truths about them to get this message. You really have. If you don't understand that, you cannot get this message as you should. Now, I've got 11 things I'm going to give you today as to why God loves the people of Israel, the Jews, and why God loves Jerusalem, and why we must ever keep Jerusalem in focus when we are studying Bible prophecy. Now, there is a distinction between the church and Israel. We do not replace Israel as the church. Israel is just as distinct as they have ever been, and they really come into focus here at the end. They really come into focus here at the end. Now, I want you to listen to me, and then I want you to get on your phones or on your tablet, your internet, and ask questions that will help everybody understand how imperative it is to know the story of Israel, to understand the story of Israel, to know the Jews and why God loves the Jews and why they are so fixed in the great mind of God and the great prophecy of the Bible. When you get all of that and you understand it, it'll change your life. It really will. Now, listen to me carefully. I'm going to give you 11 things, and I'm going to do it. I'm going to first go read you something in the Bible. Let me get the right focus here. Let's go to the Bible. I want you to see something that is really thrilling about Israel. You got to listen carefully now. The book of Revelation, chapter 21. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, New Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And the light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Oh, what a city. What a beautiful city. Now, you got to hear this. And had a great wall, great and high, and had 12 gates. And the 12 gates, at the 12 gates, 12 angels. And the names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Now, that is unique and that is special. The city of New Jerusalem, 12 great gates, and the name of the 12 tribes of Israel are on those gates, one on each gate. So the 12 gates are named after the 12 distinct tribes. Now, if you read on in here, you'll find the foundations of that city are named after the 12 apostles. The foundation of the city named after the 12 apostles, but the 12 gates named after the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, that takes you back to 24, 12 and 12. And I told you in Revelation chapter 4, that those 24 elders that are raptured up with Jesus and seen by John around the throne of God in heaven is a symbolic number. It represents 12, the nation of Israel, just like these 12 gates, and 12, the New Testament saints, just like the 12 foundations. So all the way through the book of Revelation, starts with chapter 4. Here we see it in chapter 20, the 20 and 4, 12 representing Israel and 12 representing the church of Jesus Christ. Now, what is beautiful is that Israel in the heart of God is so important and so spectacular that when that tribulation has started, now listen to me carefully, the tribulation starts in chapter 6. We see the seals. Jesus Christ opens the seals of that great book that he took out of the Father's hands. As he opens that book, the four horses go forth in great judgment. I mean, it is a spectacular moment. It really is a spectacular moment. And so the earth comes under great judgment. The whole earth turns into a place of sorrow and pain and indescribable woes. I can't tell you all that's going to be happening on this earth during those seven tribulation years. But it has to start in chapter 7. That's when Jesus opens the seals, the seven, or begins to open the seven seals. But then, as that tribulation period starts and breaks up on the earth, something spectacular happens. And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds, holding back the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. The seal of the living God. I'm telling you, the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of God in their forehead. Now, this event is so spectacular. The tribulation period is in process. The winds and the storms are brewing all over the earth. It's like a hellish place to live in. I mean, the 7 years of the tribulation, Jesus said it will be a tribulation as has never been, no, nor ever shall be, Matthew 24. So now we see angels holding it back. They're stopping it. They're stopping it briefly, of course. Just for a little interval here. And what does he do during that little interval? He seals the Jewish people, 144,000 strong, in the name of God, in the name of Jesus. He seals them. They have been converted. Now, the Bible doesn't say they had a revival, but you and I know you can't get sealed by the seal of God unless you've been cleansed by the blood during that period. And so these 144,000 angels have had a revival. That's my belief now. You can take it differently. This is something that I've studied. I see it clearly. In chapter 18, it says that they have the seal of Christ, that they are servants of Jesus Christ. So we know if in chapter 14 they are servants of Jesus Christ, they've got to be servants of Jesus Christ right here. And so they have been converted. They have had a revival. And now they're sealed with the seal of God to protect them during the rest of the 7 years of the great tribulation period. Now, this to me is one of the most wonderful truths in our Bible. You see, you take everything in the Bible literal. This is the seventh chapter of Revelation. This is immediately after the seals have begun to be opened. This is a time of great wrath, but God has the people he wants to protect. And God has the people who are going to be his witnesses. These are people who are going to represent him. And so they're sealed with the seal of God in their forehead. And so I personally believe they had to be converted after the rapture. And now they're sealed so they can represent Christ and God to the whole Jewish world during this hellish time that's coming to bear upon the Jewish people. Now, I've never dealt with this before on this broadcast. And I may have people who say, I don't understand this. Well, it's kind of over my head, but it's there. And I want you to see it because I want you to understand that God loves the Jewish people. God loves the Jewish people. We don't replace them. The church has not taken their place. The church is a powerful entity. We have our special place. The book of Revelation is written to the church. It's not particularly written to Israel. It's written to the church. But the church must never forget Israel. We are to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We are to love. You go read the 11th chapter of Romans, and you see how Paul the apostle made it plain that if we have been converted because they were discarded, we must rejoice now as we come back to see them once again reclaimed and brought back into the wonderful family of God. This is really spectacular truth. It really is. And I hope you're getting it. I hope I'm making an impression upon your heart, because with the internet world, with the Facebook world, with our radio friends, trying our best to get you ready for the rapture, friend. If you're a Gentile, you need to get ready for the rapture. If you're a Jew, you need to get ready for the rapture. But these Jews would have missed the rapture. See, they didn't go in the rapture. They're here on the earth. So they're sealed on the earth. Now, in the same chapter, there's a multitude of church people, Gentiles, that are also converted. A multitude, the Bible makes it plain, a multitude that come up out of the tribulation. You see, Revelation is one of those exciting books. It really is. And I'm hoping you're getting some questions and you'll bombard me with your questions. I shall be happy to be bombarded with your questions and try my best that we really learn something grand from this excellent story. It will affect your life if you'll learn from it. It will affect your life if you learn from it. Now, tell us, Reverend Chambers, what is the reason for why God loves Israel in such a manner that he would stop the tribulation temporary for maybe a day, maybe hours, it doesn't say, and that he would seal these Jewish people who have come to know Christ, who have been converted, who now are ready to be identified with the Son of God, the Messiah, that they've rejected 2,000 years. And now they're ready to be identified with him. And so since they've been identified with him, he seals them to protect them, hallelujah, and to keep them from being destroyed. You see, the Antichrist will kill 2/3 of all the living Jews, other than this 144,000. Out of the rest of the Jewish world, probably 25 million right now, 30 million. I don't know the exact number. I don't know that anybody does. But out of all of them, 2/3 will be slain by the Antichrist. You're talking about maybe as much as 15 million. Maybe 20 million will be killed. But every Jew that's left that doesn't get killed by the Antichrist will be converted at that great Holy Ghost revival in Jerusalem at the end of the 7 years. Now, this is before the end of the 7 years. This is immediately after the rapture. 144,000 Jews sealed with the seal of God in their forehead. Now, let me try to give you these 11 reasons I've got. This will be on your internet, on your webpage sometime Monday, okay? Because these are so imperative. I want you to learn them. Number one, Israel was chosen as God's messianic family by which he preserved the seed of woman that Jesus might be born of Mary. That's beautiful that the Jewish people were the family God chose to prepare them to give us the Messiah. The Messiah was born of the seed of woman from within the Jewish family. If there's any reason in the world you ought to love the Jewish people, it's because the family of the Jews gave us the Son of the living God, gave us the Christ, and produced a woman, a pure virgin woman, that the Holy Ghost might come upon her, and she might conceive in her womb by the Holy Ghost, and give us the Son of God. Hallelujah. That in itself is worth everything we could think about. The people of Israel have protected a pure Bible all the way back to the time of Moses. From Moses, who wrote the first books of the Bible, all the way unto the apostles and the disciples of the early church, every book of the Bible was written by Jewish people. And they have preserved for us. They left Jerusalem when great sorrow came to the city of Jerusalem by Romans in AD 70. They moved to Antioch and kept preserving the Bible, maybe as much as 200 years. We don't know the full history of what happened in Antioch, but we know the pure word of God from which we get our King James Bible was preserved early, at the early stage, by the Jewish people. And we're not sure how long they preserved it. The early church, of course, of Gentiles and Jews continued that preservation. And so we must know that God respects the Jewish people as the vehicle by which he brought us the infallible scripture, the infallible word of God. Now, that's overwhelming to me. That's overwhelming to me. You know, we speak of those early Pharisees as legalist, and they were very legalist, very much. They were Pharisaical, but that was a purpose that preserved the pure Bible. They were so legalistic, and they were so very careful with everything, including their life, that we have a Bible that they preserved for us, the true, wonderful Word of God. Now, at some point, of course, Gentiles got involved in that preservation. We don't know the exact story. We just know the early church that was led by Jews moved from Jerusalem to Antioch and preserved the Bible for at least 200 to 300 years when the Catholic Church was trying to destroy everything but their twisted reversions of the Bible. That early church, made up of many, maybe most Jews, preserved that Bible. Have you thought about that? Have you really understood that? The early Jewish church leaders, they went to Antioch to keep the Catholics from totally destroying the Word of God. That was number four, and I kind of built the two together. The Old Testament came through Jewish leaders and legalist Jews who were careful. They wouldn't even write the name of God and spell the whole word. Every time they copied the Bible, they would go and when they come to the name of God to write it, they'd go take a bath. Oh, it's beautiful. It really is. Now, the love for His holy city. Another reason that God loves the Jewish people is they have loved the holy city of Jerusalem from the moment that God birthed that city, from the time of David, who sent his people into that stronghold and took the city of Jerusalem, and it became God's city. It was God who chose Jerusalem. It has been the Jews who have given Jerusalem its preservation. Do you understand that? Do you understand that in the time after Nebuchadnezzar had destroyed the city of Jerusalem, it was Jews that went back to Jerusalem and rebuilt the city. The city and the great temple in Jerusalem. Hey, friend, you got to understand the Jews have loved the city of Jerusalem, and God loves them because they love the city He chose. Jerusalem is the center of the earth. Jerusalem is God's city. I said Jerusalem is God's city, not Washington. As much as I love being an American, it's Jerusalem that's God's city. The 12 gates, I read that to you. The 12 gates of New Jerusalem will be named after the 12 apostles of the, after the 12 patriarchs of the Old Testament saints. The gates of the city of Jerusalem, you got to hear me. Got to hear me. Why does God still love the Jewish people? Why are they so special in His prophetic message? Why are they so special? Early Jerusalem, earthly Jerusalem, listen to me now. Earthly Jerusalem will be the capital of the whole earth. Now, if I seem to be a little scattered here, this is because I've never done this subject before. I've never got involved in why God has been so favorable toward the Jewish people. Now, I know for 2,000 years they wondered, but finally at the right time, 1948, God brought them back to their homeland again. And it really is a beautiful people, a beautiful picture. I mean, it is a beautiful picture. Earthly Jerusalem will be the capital of the earth for 1,000 years. Earthly Jerusalem, God's city, preserved by the Jewish people. Who else has fought to preserve the city of Jerusalem and make a glorious city out of it? I know of nobody else. Others have tried to take it and many times destroyed it, but God's people has preserved it. Now, God stopped the greatest judgment in human history to seal this 144,000 Jewish people. Now, that's a proof that God loves the Jewish people. I don't think I ever saw how really great this is. That while that 7-year tribulation period is in progress, I mean, it is storming. I mean, it is hell on earth. angels are involved in shedding forth this great judgment. But God stops it and puts it on hold to seal 144,000 Jews. Hey, friend, don't you ever speak evil of these chosen people. The Jewish prophets, they literally told us the story of Jesus in their Old Testament book. Take that Old Testament from Genesis to Malachi. Did you know that Jesus lives on every page? Did you know that the Old Testament is the foreshadow of the coming Christ? He appears in pre-incarnate form on several occasions. You take the book of Psalms, it's nothing but a story of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You take the great writers of the Old Testament, everything in that temple, everything in that tabernacle was a type of Christ. Every sacrifice, every piece of furniture, the very walls, the very gates of the temple, the very gates of the tabernacle was a type of the Christ. I mean, he lives in that Old Testament. If you would throw the Old Testament away, you'd have to throw the Bible away. You would have to throw the Bible away if you threw away the Old Testament. Because the new is concealed in the old, and the old is revealed in the new. The Holy Ghost said to me a few days ago, he has but one book. That Bible is a single book. You say two testaments. Well, really, two covenants. I think a better way to say it is two different covenants. And the second is built on the foundation which the first covenant lay. And they are perfect in their fitting together, the harmony in which they represent God's holy word. The Bible without the Jews could not be. The Bible without the Jews could not be. Do you understand that? The Bible without the Jews could not be. Now, those 11 reasons why God respects and reverences his holy people, the Jewish people. And that's why we have the 12 in chapter 4 who represent Jews, as well as the 12 that represent the church. That's why we have 144,000 Jews sealed with the seal of God in their forehead. And I'll take you to other grand things in the book of Revelation that give us a picture of Israel and the Jewish people. Now, when you understand this, it makes for wonderful, wonderful Bible study. It really does. I promise you, I am a church member. I love the church. The church has not replaced Israel. Israel is just as important as it has ever been. Never has there been one moment that God considered forsaken Israel, except when he told Moses that he was going to destroy them and rebuild the nation. And Moses said, no, can't happen. If you mark them off, you got to mark me off. Moses wouldn't let God discount the people of Israel who had come out of Egypt. Hallelujah. Well, it's all a beautiful picture. Now, I want to get you involved. I want your questions. I mean, I want a bunch of them. So grab your phone, 1-800-338-7884. I'll give you the numbers here, 1-800-338-7884. The local number, 704-391-0588, and then jrc@paulcreek.org. You can send me a question. I really want to hear from you. I want to make this next 34 minutes breathtaking with your questions. How many out there love the nation of Israel? You love the city of Jerusalem. You know, 100 years ago, it was one of the grandest things anybody ever thought about, going to Jerusalem. It is still one of the key places on this earth that Americans visit. A church person, a person who loves the Bible, had probably rather go visit Jerusalem than go to any other vacation spot, any other scenic spot in the world. Jerusalem is the heart of God's church. It's the heart of God's people. It really is. It can't be nothing else. And living in prophecy, knowing that soon, very soon, I'm praying that our president will keep his promise to take and move the American embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. Oh, I pray for that. I pray almost regular. God, let the president know that that is a must, and let him do it instantly, immediately. It will be a grand thing to happen. I know. It'll cause a storm. I'm telling you, it will cause a storm. But let the storm come. I just believe it's prophetic. I believe it's got to happen. I really am believing it's got to happen. I love you. I love you. I hope you're hearing this. I hope it's getting through to you. I hope you are, just soaking it up. And now I want you to grab your phone and call me. 704-391-0588. Do you love Jerusalem? Do you love the children of Israel? Are you praying for the peace of Jerusalem? Why don't we have a prayer together right now for the peace of Jerusalem? Why don't we have a prayer together? Now, before we pray, let me show you something here. This is very important to me. I've got three timelines on Jerusalem. I spent many hours putting these timelines together. This one goes back to 3,000 and something before Christ, when Jerusalem was named by a totally different name, but some reference here. And you will follow the history of Jerusalem. There's three of these. I cannot show you but one, but there's three of these. And I will send them to you today if you'll simply call. All you got to do is pick up your phone and call me, 704-391-0588. And then, of course, the toll-free 1-800-338-7884. I want you to have them because I want to get people learning how close we are to the coming of the Lord. I want to awake you. I want to excite you and challenge you. I want to challenge you, my brothers and sisters, to let's get ready for the glorious appearing of Jesus Christ. And understanding Jerusalem only helps us know how close it is, how near we are. See, the Jewish nation became a nation in 1948. They had not been a nation since before 70, when the Romans marched in and utterly destroyed Jerusalem. They didn't leave one stone upon another. I mean, they made havoc out of that whole city. And it was years before it began to rise again. And it's been destroyed several times because it is either loved or hated by everybody on the face of this earth, I guess. And it is the center. It is the center. So I want you to learn. I want to provide you this article, which is a good article entitled Israel's First Fruit Saved After the Rapture. Israel's First Fruit Saved After the Rapture. And those three timelines. What a gift. I'm talking about a special gift. Now, I want to hear your question. What do you think about the fact of a revival of 144,000 Jews being saved immediately, or at least sometime within a short period after the rapture? The Bible don't give a date. We know that the rapture takes place in chapter 4 of Revelation. We know the 7-year tribulation period begins in chapter 6 of Revelation. We know that chapter 7, which is all a chronological order, a chronological path. We know that the 144,000 Jews were sealed in the early part of that 7th chapter. So we know it's a very close sequence of 7 years is the total of the whole year, a whole 7 years from the rapture until Jesus returns to fight the Battle of Armageddon. Now, one of these special programs will be about the Battle of Armageddon. Another special program will be about the Antichrist and how he does everything he can to destroy the Jewish nation. The Antichrist literally goes to Jerusalem, goes into their temple, takes the false prophet, takes the Antichrist and makes an image of him. And that image becomes a source of demanding the whole world to worship the Antichrist and to take his mark. So you're talking about something that centers right out of Jerusalem again. I mean, it's all a message to the church, but Jerusalem is at the center. And it's beautiful to study it and to see it. Now, your question, 1-800-338-7884, 704-391-0588. I want a list of questions. I want you to ask me the toughest things we can talk about. And let's get the picture clear in our minds. Let's understand just where we are. Do you know Do you know? Take 1948, when the people of Israel became a nation again. Follow the path of all the things that's happened. Look now at what the Antichrist is doing on a worldwide scene with a one world religion. A one world religion is developing so fast, it's hardly capable to keep up with. I mean, I stay in the news a little bit every day, just keeping the headlines. I don't read all the details. It's boring to me, but I keep up with the details. And I'm telling you, the Antichrist is so near and so ready for his mark, but he cannot give his mark until Jerusalem is once again the center of the Jewish people. Once again, there's a temple there. Once again, the temple is ready for the Antichrist to set up his image. So you see, everything happening has Jerusalem at focus, has Jerusalem in the mix. And it's all happening in a grand way. That's why for the president to make Jerusalem the location of our embassy would be a grand step in all of this. Because at some point, Jerusalem has got to rebuild that temple. I don't believe it can be done until after the rapture, or at least after the battle of Gog and Magog. But I know it's at hand. I know it's near, even at the door. And so, if you have a question about any of this, I shall do my best to answer. The lines are open right now, 704-391-0588. We don't get enough questions anymore, and I don't know why that is. I know we've got a big audience, and I hear from people all over the world, but I want your questions. I want you to get involved in what we talk about. I want my answers to satisfy the needs that you have of learning more. I want you to correct me if you see something in my thinking that you feel is a little bit off the base, because we are dealing with new territory here. I wish more theological, prophetic theologians would study all about Jerusalem in the book of Revelation. I wish they would help me raise this to a new level of attention, because it is very, very important. It is very, very important. I am a church person to the core. I know there's a great distinction between the Church of Jesus Christ and the nation of Israel. But I want to understand both of those entities. I want to keep them in focus, one with the other. And I want to see how they all develop as we come down to this final hour. Because the final hour is at the door. All right. Your question. While you are calling, now I'm going to go to see if we have any on the internet that has a question. I'm not sure what that is, but I'll just eliminate it. It didn't go nowhere, so maybe it won't go anywhere. Let me see if I can find. Nope, I'm not going to be able to find I'm sorry for that, but I'm not going to be able to find the emails today. Something came up on my computer there that won't go away, and I'm afraid to mess with it. I'll make a mess if I do. So grab your phone, 1-800-338. If you send an email, call me now and ask me the question by telephone, okay? Grab your phone, 1-800-338-7884, 704-391-0588. The coming of the Lord is at the door. The coming of the Lord is at the door. Are you looking for him? Are you looking for him? How many out there are praying for the peace of Jerusalem? Now you understand, when you pray for Jerusalem, you are praying for these very events that bring us to the end. Praying for the peace of Jerusalem is like praying for Jesus to come. Praying for God to protect his people and to somehow get them ready to receive the Messiah. That's like praying for Jesus to come. All of these things have to happen in sequel, you see? And so your question and your interest is extremely important. It really is. Let's take a call here. I want to hear from every one of you out there. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Yeah, I was going to ask a question. Everybody seems to assume that America is one of the biggest homes with the far as the moving of the Antichrist. And I was just wondering.
Now, wait a minute. What did you say? Say that again. Let me see if I can get the context of what you said. America.
It seems like everybody thinks that America is one of the biggest factors in the setting up of the Antichrist.
America is a big factor in that the Church of America is going into the New Age Church, the One World Church, and the One World Church is absolutely an entity of the Antichrist.
That's right. I was just wondering, you know, you see Donald Trump moving toward the Middle East and getting everything set in order. And it kind of just opens your eyes to see that how close we're getting to the Lord coming back.
Well, you're exactly right. You see, trying to stop the problem in Syria. Syria is the stage ground of the great army of Gog and Magog that marches against Jerusalem. The Russians are a big factor in that. The Syrians are a big factor in that. But especially the Iranians and the Ethiopians. And so all those powers are there. And from the time that Russia moved into Syria and began to set up base there, I knew that was a step toward the war of Gog and Magog. And the war of Gog and Magog is just one factor getting us ready for the 7-year tribulation period.
That's right. You know, you kind of wonder where the Catholic Church kind of stands in it. Of course, I'm a born-again Christian. I'm not a Catholic or anything. But I see the way the Roman government, everything's moving that way also.
Oh, absolutely. This Pope, this particular Pope right now, is an Antichrist Pope. I mean, he's welcomed the homosexual in their lifestyle right into the Roman Catholic Church. He is endorsing every liberal view out there that I've heard any discussion of. He is 100% a liberal in the greatest sense, and he's getting the Catholic Church ready to be part of the one world religion.
Oh yeah.
And look at how many Protestants have gone to him. I mean, the Pentecostals, the Charismatics, I should say, have gone heart and soul into the Catholic arena. I was a Church of God person for 40-some years, Cleveland, Tennessee. And recently they had their choir from Lee College, the Lee Singers, to sing in the Vatican, in Rome, and to absolutely sing the Mass. They didn't just sing a song. They sung the Mass. And the Mass is as diabolical as anything there is out there. And I mean, we're on the verge. And how the Jews fit into this only is another part of the chapter. Do you understand the things I've said?
Oh, yeah.
So they do make sense, don't they?
Spiritually, you see everything coming to pass, but it just seems like everybody's in that deep sleep as far as the church.
Now, you see, you just said something that I'm sitting here thinking. The church world as a whole does not grasp what I'm saying. You did, and I'm sure there's a lot that did. But we are not, the preachers are not preaching prophecy. Most preachers are scared to death to touch the book of Revelation. I get in over my head. You hear me today? I'm in over my head.
I understand that.
I'm literally in over my head today. And I mean, even what I'm teaching is so new to me that I'm sitting here, making sure I say the right words and making sure I explain it perfectly. But we are seeing the book of Revelation come to focus so clear that nobody can doubt Jesus is coming any moment.
That's true.
I'm glad you're listening. Where are you calling from?
Calling from Charlotte, North Carolina.
So you're here in Charlotte. You hear me on radio or on Facebook?
Yeah. On the radio.
Okay. I am so grateful you called. I'm grateful. I pray that the church world out there will wake up and that somehow we will see exactly where we are. I feel sometimes like a lone ranger in teaching some of the things I teach because they are so apropos. They're so on target. They're so right in with the Holy Scripture. And to think of this 144,000, see, there are Jews all over the world who are solid Orthodox Jews. They love that Bible. They believe the Messiah is coming. Now they have they haven't received the Christ. So their Messiah, they're looking for him. We know he's already here. They're in darkness. But once that rapture takes place, can you imagine in Jerusalem? I'm asking you a question now. Can you imagine in Jerusalem when the rapture's taking place, how many graves will be open all over Jerusalem and Israel, of saints of God who were raptured. The Bible says they will be thrust out of the earth. Their graves will be open, so there'll be a hole left where they came from. Not to let them out, but to let people see in. I mean, can you imagine what that's going to do to Israel? Can you imagine the consternation in Jerusalem the day after the rapture?
Yeah, the whole world will be in uproar. But you remember when Jesus came out of the grave? You read in the Bible, and it said that there was a rapture of
20
saints that saw him walking the streets then.
Yes, 20. That's chapter 27 of Matthew, and those were Jews now. Those were Jews that were raptured there in Jerusalem and were seen on the streets of the city. Now, I believe when I'm raptured, if Jesus would come today and I was raptured, I think I'd have a few minutes to knock on the door of my family that's unprepared and tell them that Mama and Papa are on our way up, but you better not take that mark of the beast.
That's right.
Thank you, sir.
Amen.
You've had a wonderful addition to this program. Now, thank you, and God bless you. Please keep listening and tell others about it, okay? God bless you. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, Dr. Chambers. Now, question. Will the church have to suffer for the rapture? Some people say that it's how God gets the church ready for his coming.
Some of them say what now?
Some people are saying that's how God gets the church ready for his coming.
Get the church ready.
Right.
Brother, when Jesus comes, most of the church ain't going to be ready. It's not going to be ready. The multitudes are going to be left. God's got a people ready right now. Now, I don't know. Maybe there are more to get ready. But anybody who says there's got to be a revival before Jesus comes, they are very wrong. It may be. I'm praying that it will be. But I'm here to tell you, nothing is going to stop the rapture when God says to his son, go get him.
Okay. Another question. I refer to him as P.P. Do you believe he's a Christian, or do we need to pray that he will be saved?
You're talking about a president.
No, I'm talking about the president of Israel.
I don't know. He's not saved. He's a good Jew. He very well will be one of the 144,000 that gets saved after the rapture, and then he'll be sealed with the seal of God. That 144,000 who will be sealed after the rapture are right now, as a whole, we don't know this, but my opinion, they right now are Orthodox Jews who really believe the Bible, who live by the law very spectacularly, very committedly. They're pure, clean living people. And after the rapture, they will receive Christ because they will know instantly that Jesus has really come. When they see the graves open, they hear the news, they get the whole picture, the trumpet. Of course, when it sounds, the world is going to know something great has happened, and nobody... Nobody would know that better than the Jews.
Thank you, sir. I have one other question. It's because a lot of Christian people are cremated, and when the Lord comes and they were cremated, it's not the grave opening. What is your opinion of a Christian person that is cremated?
If a person wants to be cremated, it would mean they know nothing about the Bible. You cannot understand the Bible. You cannot study the Bible and then still desire creation. So that's one of the darkest things happening in America and in the so-called, educated world is cremation. I'm 100% against it. I have an incredible booklet I have written about it. So anybody wants to know the full truth about cremation, you just call and give the ladies a request and we'll give you that booklet on cremation. Cremation is terrible. It is heathen to the core. Now, am I going to say nobody will go to heaven that was cremated? I'm not going to say that. There are people that die and their family are unbelievers and they don't care nothing about God. And so they cremate Mama and Papa, and so Mama and Papa didn't have nothing to do with it. So in those cases, they won't be charged with the sin of it. But those kids will be charged with it.
Okay. way. I do thank you, and I have a gift that I'll be putting in the mail to support you, and God bless you, and I'll continue to watch to you across the internet.
Thank you. You know, we do have a lot of friends that are beginning to pick up this program, and these are good calls. Hey, grab your phone, 1-800-338-7884. 1-800-338-7884, 704-391-0588, local. Everybody out there ought to call if you don't get our mailing and get our prophetic news alerts. We send two every month. And they go to a lot of people. And you ought to get it. Now, if you don't get these prophetic news alerts, I will send them to you freely. Because they are wonderful, wonderful little instruments of Bible study. Just more of what you're hearing on the broadcast, except in written form with documentation, Bible scriptures. Just study. You can get a college education on our internet because we've got so much wonderful material. Now grab your phone, 1-800-338-7884, 704-391-0588. And again, remember, those three timelines about Jerusalem, they really are good. I cannot think of giving you anything that's better than those three timelines. You can see it's a timeline dated. The date starts at the left end and goes to the right, and they will help you. There's three of them that takes you from 5,000 and some years ago to the present, to the prophetic future of Jerusalem. It really is good, and I'd love to send them to you. So grab your phone, 1-800-338-7884, 704-391-0588. And I want to tell you something. Don't you ever let a word come out of your mouth in criticism of the Jewish people. And don't you ever let anti-Semitism get a hold of you in any form or fashion. And don't you let anybody convince you that Jerusalem and the Jews are not focused on by God right now in prophetic development, and that the picture is not being laid, and the framework is not being made, and the end of this generation is not coming to pass. It is all happening, friend, right while I'm talking. And I'm bringing it to you, hopefully, to stir you and to get you excited about the hour we live in. You're on the air. May I help you, please?
Hello?
Yes, you're there?
Oh, I just heard what you said about cremation being wrong. But what about, how do you compare that with burying somebody with no embalming and just...
Well, cremation is wrong because it's always been a heathen practice. It's never been anything but for the heathens. And the body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. You have a DNA in you, friend, that will be the source of your resurrection. That DNA goes back to the dust, dust to dust, ashes to ashes. Not, you know, we're talking about decomposure, I guess I get the right word here, of the body. So I don't believe in cremation at all. And biblically, would you want Jesus to have been cremated? Do you realize if Jesus would have been cremated, he could have come forth in that glorious body? Do you understand that?
Oh. Okay. So... burying without embalming is okay.
Well, burying without, no, you should be embalmed. I think that's the law. All that does is preserve and keep you from, you know, from. I can't really answer that question. I have never thought about why are we embalmed. Well, we embalm because it slows the process of the body disintegrating. I'll get that. So I cannot tell you, but I know I have nothing against embalming. You asked me a question and it kind of blew my little mind. That's okay. I'll learn more.
There's some cemeteries that you put the body unembalmed in a cardboard box and buried to turn back to dust.
Well, if you want to do that, it's okay with me. I don't think it'd be okay with government. I think that's a rule that demands it, but I don't know that. You're asking something I've never thought about. Why do we embalm? I know that in the day of Christ, they covered the body with different ornaments and different things that helped imbibe and preserve the body to some degree. I don't know how long, certainly not very long, but I won't go any further with that because I cannot answer your question. I'm glad you asked them, though. I'll dig in a little bit. God bless you. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, sir. My name is Rhonda. I was listening to your station, and you talked about cremation. What if a family is poor and don't have the money to do any other funeral? And I had a daughter that got killed in 2012, and we had to have her cremated because I did not have the money to bury her.
Well, you know, when you think about a question like that, there's always a reason we can say that money demands us do this and do that. If cremation is wrong, and it is a heathen practice, then a family should find the way. There are, in most communities, there are programs to help in those cases, but because of somebody being poor, I cannot, therefore, suggest that they should be cremated. And you know, it's a big subject. I don't want it to go any further because it's completely off our subject today. I'm against it. If anybody wants a booklet, call to get it. I cannot answer you all the questions about embalming because I've never researched them. I do know the Bible makes it plain that we are to be buried.
Can you tell me what chapter in the Bible is?
I can tell you that if you'll give the ladies the name, I'll send you a booklet. I haven't read that booklet in some months, and so I can't give you the chapters, but I'll give it to you in that booklet, and they're very plain. It's very good. It will answer your questions fully. Okay? So can you stay there and let the ladies send you that booklet?
Yes.
Okay, you stay right there. Ladies, line three. Ladies, line three, they will answer that and help that person, and we'll be delighted to give them that booklet. Just delighted. We're here to bless people and to help them. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, Reverend Chambers, in the state of Virginia.
You haven't called in a long time. Where you been?
Well, I've been here. I don't catch all of you here lately. But in the state of Virginia, you don't have to be embalmed unless you're buried within 24 hours.
Okay, so you can be buried in 24 hours and not be embalmed.
Yes, sir, and most practicing Jews and Muslims are not embalmed.
Well, that's good. I mean, I'm not either for or against embalming. And to me, that's a matter of individual choice. I'm just against the idea of cremation because it's heathen. And there are many wonderful scriptures that teach us that burial is commanded for the believer.
Well, I was getting ready to say, you said it there in the Old Testament, it was a heathen practice. The Jews did not practice cremation.
Not in any, and there are ways now. There are ways now to get much cheaper burials. I've known some of them. I mean, much, much cheaper. And so if a person can't afford the regular, which I know can be $10,000-$12,000, they can certainly find something cheaper.
Yes, most of the expense in a funeral is casket.
Yeah, you're right, casket.
That's where they make the big bucks off the casket.
Well, you know, I really, may I ask everybody, let's leave this now. We don't have but 5 minutes, but I want to make sure we understand the story of the Jewish people. Thank you for calling, my dear brother, and God bless you. God bless every one of you today. Now give us a call. I'll take one more call, but let's make sure it's on the Jewish people, okay? Didn't know I was going to get off on cremation. If I had known, I would have prepared myself. Hadn't studied that particular booklet in some time, but it's a free booklet for you. If you'll call right now, the ladies will put down the book on cremation and will send you a copy. But what I want to send you now is this article on Israel and the 144,000 Jews sealed. And the three timelines, so you can study. I want you to get yourself ready for the coming of the Lord. It is at the door, my friend, at the door. How many believe that? How many believe the coming of the Lord's at the door? How about saying hallelujah if you do out there? I believe it's at the door, and I'm ready. Now, the ladies are standing by to take your calls. I need you to help. I need your dedication. Now, we've been getting some new people helping us financially. We've made some progress. been slow, but some good progress. I need more of you to get on the team and help me with the cost of this ministry. We're all over the world. Facebook and internet all over the world. We have thousands of readers and listeners and viewers, and it's growing and it's wonderful. And I want you involved, and I want it to be exciting. I want it to be a thrilling subject, and I want us to stay in the middle of it and let our lives grow and learn in the things of the Lord. You are important to us. Do you hear me? You are extremely important to us, and I want you to grow in the Lord and learn. I want you to get closer and closer to Him. I want Jesus to become the Lord of your life, okay? And you are on the air. May I help you, please?
Hey, Brother Timbers, this is Brother Otto.
Hey, Brother Otto.
Hey, I know you've got a minute, but isn't that the greatest proof that the Lord is God? Of course, our Lord, the hatred for the Jews through history. And that because they're God's people and Satan is not happy.
But, you know, they have been hated so bad. Until it's almost unbelievable, isn't it? I mean, they have been despised. And look, the things I said today, the Bible, every book of the Bible written by a Jewish person, the Bible was preserved in the Old Testament and at least probably to the second and third century in the New Testament. At Antioch, those were mainly Jewish leaders of the early church, and they preserved the Bible. When the Catholics was destroying it, they preserved it. We get the Antioch manuscripts that are available today. They were used in writing the King James Version.
Yeah, and right now, September, such a little country, they're just trying to exist. Yet, they're just, all they're trying to do is exist. And really, they're not hurting anybody. Yet, the Arab world wants to destroy them. And that's number one sign forever. Whoever is listening that does not believe in God, this is the number one sign. They are God's people.
I love you, my brother, and God bless your heart. Now, friends, this has been a good broadcast, and I appreciate every caller. Every person has been very exciting to me. I'm delighted. I want you to grow in the Lord, and I want you to mature in this Bible. Don't miss next week. Next week is going to be another right in here in the book of Revelation concerning the Jews, concerning Israel, concerning Jerusalem, concerning all these factors playing in the development for the coming of the Lord to get His church, to get His bride, His great company of saints. What a day. Now call quickly 1-800-338-7884. Local number is 704-391-0588, 704-391-0588. I want you to be involved with us. I want you to be a faithful giver. Share the burden of this ministry. Share the burden of this ministry. That is very important to me, that you share the burden of this ministry.
I have come from so far away, down the road of my own mistakes, in the hope you could hear me pray. Oh Lord, keep me in your reach. How I've longed through these wasted years to outrun all my pain and fears, turned to stone from my uncried tears. And now it's your grace I see. Love won't compromise. It's a gift, it's a sacrifice. My soul grew, my heart released. In you I'll find